what do you think about the licence fee, the BBC licence fee? Do you think you get value for money? According to Sammy Wilson, the DUP MP, the letters BBC should stand for biased, bumptious and costly. Sammy has lashed out against the Beeb on his Facebook page, saying the licence fee must go, and called it a demand to extort money under a penalty of punishment. He pulled no punches, as he said if he had a choice, he wouldn't pay for the BBC, criticising the quality of journalism and how it spends its money. So is Sammy right, or is the BBC licence fee a good value for money? 08459 555 678 is the number to call. Sammy Wilson joins us now, as does Charlie Beckett, who's a media professor at the London School of Economics. So, Sammy, you're not happy at all. You wouldn't be paying your licence fee if you didn't have to.
No, and I think that if you look at how the £3.7 billion, which BBC collects every year on licence fees, and don't forget, a lot of it doesn't go on programme making. It goes on the bureaucracy, which has increased within the BBC. And just look at some examples. The government this week, of course, has announced that it's going to limit the level of payoffs and voluntary retirement arrangements which are made and limit them to £97,000. One of the things which have provoked it, of course, are the £1 million payoffs to BBC executives which have happened in the past. One, after serving 54 days, was given a payoff of nearly £500,000. The amount of money which goes on hospitality. I mean, you criticise on your programme quite frequently. Stephen is criticising the expenses of Assembly members. Yet BBC Northern Ireland last year spent nearly £70,000 on hospitality. When it came to the World Cup, they criticised the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister for going to Brazil during the time of the World Cup, bringing back significant investment. By the way, BBC sent 282 journalists to the out to the World Cup on a jolly.
They weren't there on a jolly. I mean, let's be honest. They were delivering. They were delivering coverage of the World Cup.
Yes.
Now, how they delivered that coverage. You would contest, but to say that they're all there on a jolly is inaccurate.
And yet, at the same time, of course, ITV, which give the same coverage...
And no radio coverage.
Sent about 40% of that number out to Brazil.
Yes, but the BBC were providing TV and radio coverage of the event, and ITV weren't.
Well, I don't think that it takes another, 120 people to give radio coverage from the World Cup, especially since there's no camera work involved in that or anything else.
Well, to be fair, I think to be fair, there are a lot of people who are involved in radio output. But I mean, that's the reason. Then that's the basis. That's your basis for scrapping the license fee.
If you look at, I mean, it goes on. I mean, I could fill the rest of the program.
Yeah, no, I know, but you've also said that your issue is that the BBC.
But you've also said
that your issue is because the BBC is, number one, has a left-wing liberal bias, number two is anti-Christian, number three is obsessed with gay rights, number four is pro-EU and pro-man-made global warming, and is negative, carping, cynical and often ill-informed when reporting our local news.
Yes, and in fact, some of that is based on comments which we made by newscasters on BBC themselves.
But you're saying that is the position of the BBC. Well, all of those things, you stand over that.
Well, I mean, it's your own newscasters who have said that because of the restrictions by the BBC, they felt uneasy about discussing immigration, for example. It's your own newscasters who have said that there's a left-wing bias. It's your own organisation which refused to allow Nigel Lawson to come on to discuss global warming and his opposition or his scepticism of man-made global warming because they did not accept his views, and he was actually banned from being interviewed by BBC for a time. So, you know, all of this is actually the comments which I've made are all as a result of things which people within the BBC are saying.
No, I know.
Your own organisation.
I know, but I'm just getting to the point. You know, it is a sweeping statement that there are there are a lot of big statements there. I'm just getting to grips. If you are saying that in terms of, you know, individual cases, or if you believe that that is the position on all of those on all of those subjects that you have mentioned, if that is the position of the BBC.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that if you look at the coverage which you've given, I mean, I've given you examples there of where your own newscasters are saying there's a left-wing bias within the organisation. The fact that BBC have actually taken decisions not to have certain views expressed, and that was a decision taken by the BBC not to have certain views expressed, it illustrates a bias there. And I think that anyone who has listened to how often the issue of gay rights, gay marriage, etc., is raised on your own programme here and other BBC programmes, then you can see that there seems to be an obsession within BBC about that.
OK, let me quote it
from the just before Christmas, after the agreement was made between the parties at Stormont. For weeks, BBC had been complaining that nothing was happening, no agreement was being reached. The agreement wasn't reached. You were rolling out some of the most inane comments about how bad this agreement was. You even had some fool on, and you didn't. I think it was the Evening Extra programme didn't even question it when he said it was worse now in Northern Ireland than it was in 1974. And that kind of thing was played two or three times over the BBC airways without being challenged once. Now, that's the kind of carping, cynical criticism that I think just gets people down and also calls into question whether or not this is really a public broadcasting a business which should be paid for by the public without them having the choice of making a decision to pay the licence fee or not.
I'll come back to you, Sammy, but I want to bring Charlie Beckett in. And any of you listening to this, you have a view, 0845955678 is the number to call. Charlie Beckett, who's a media professor at the London School of Economics. What do you make of what Sammy Wilson has had to say this morning, Charlie?
Well, there's a lot he's had to say, I think. And I should say I'm not here to act as a kind of defender or spokesman of the BBC.
Absolutely not.
But in a sense, some of those criticisms, as he points out, the BBC has acknowledged in a way. The BBC has said it's got to reduce the number of managers on very high salaries. The BBC has accepted that in the past it's been behind the curve on public opinion, if you like, on some issues like Europe and immigration. In fact, along with much of mainstream media, to be honest. And the BBC has tried to adjust to that, and I think that's good. It's inevitable that the BBC is always going to have to change in the face of changing, you know, politics, in the face of changing technologies, in the face of the changing marketplace that it's operating in. So it's a question of whether it responds quickly enough. And I think in the past, the BBC hasn't had very good governance from the Trust, for example. It hasn't had robust criticism from people telling it to get on its toes financially, for example, to respond to changes in public opinion. I think it has been a bit arrogant and it's got a bit bloated. But if you look at the actual facts in terms of what they've done in reducing waste, in terms of opening up production, then it is a much more competitive organisation than it was in the past. And my final point would be very careful about throwing away something which is incredibly admired around the world by its competitors, but also by the British public across the various countries of the UK. The public still, when you ask them you know, what they consume from the BBC, there is a massive range, especially with online, of course, now. You know, everything from local radio right through to EastEnders. And generally speaking, people still think, when they're asked by independent organisations, that the licence fee is incredibly good value compared to what you might pay for excellent services elsewhere, such as from Sky.
Sammy Wilson, there must be programmes that you watch or listen to on BBC channels that you actually think are worth the licence fee.
Well, I'm not saying that everything that BBC does is bad or is unacceptable or indeed is not attractive. Indeed, I listen to Radio 4 every morning. Rather than listen to Radio Ulster, I find Radio 4 a bit less negative than Radio Ulster.
You're allowed to do that. That's part of the choice that you have, the wonderful wide range of programmes.
No, and Joel, this is the point. If I wish to listen to Radio 4, then I decide that that is a programme which I find attractive, then the proper way of financing that is for me to make the choice and to pay for it, not to be forced to pay for it, because...
But what I'm saying is the breakdown of the figures say that, you know, each licence fee, when it's divided up, would contribute about £2.30 per month per household towards radio. If you were to divide it up and you were paying, say, a premium just to listen to Radio 4, it would probably cost you a lot more.
Well, that would be my choice, though. That's the important thing. And if I decided it wasn't good value for money, just as it would with Sky or whatever, Netflix or whatever other one I would decide to purchase.
That for all those young people, Sammy, that one, eh?
that's a particular choice. But I mean, could I just come back to the point of how the money is spent? I mean, despite all of the reorganisation within BBC, we still have 91 managers who are paid more than the Prime Minister, 11 who are paid twice the salary of the Prime Minister. And even when it came to slimming down the BBC, 700 people were made redundant at an average cost of £265,000. 400 of those have been re-employed as freelancers again. Now, that to me is an indication that you have an organisation which can get money from the public without any questions being asked because they're forced to pay it by law, and then they spend it wastefully. And that's the main reason why I'm against the licence fee. When people get money where they don't have to be accountable for it, then there is inevitably going to be waste.
Charlie Beckett, Sammy Wilson highlights these examples of waste, and you used the phrase, you know, maybe the BBC being a bit behind the bend, behind the curve in terms of trying to get into a position where they've caught up. I mean, do you ever catch up? Do you ever catch up from
no,
that
don't.
Position? Or are you always then in a position where the mud will always stick?
Indeed. I mean, on the sort of economics, you're quite right. I mean, Sammy, it's quite right to point out that elsewhere in the industry, newspapers, radio, TV, everyone is having to be ferociously competitive and reduce costs. And so that's an ongoing battle, and the BBC has got to be ever more rigorous. And I think that will happen partly by opening up the BBC, by getting more independent producers in there, and indeed even allowing the BBC to compete to provide services elsewhere.
But as the whole landscape changes, Charlie, in terms of the whole media landscape, somebody mentioning Netflix there, and you know the whole idea of TV on demand and the whole change of how people want to have their viewing experience, maybe not necessarily watch a programme whenever it's scheduled for them, and the whole thing changes and they're prepared to pay, does it become increasingly difficult to defend the licence fee?
It will do, but it's, first of all, there are far fewer people than you think who are already doing all those other things. Most people still get most of their media in the traditional ways. And certainly with the BBC, people like the fact that they've got a very simple, very cheap way to pay for it. Now, you say get rid of the licence fee. All the alternatives are really difficult because the commercial companies do not want the BBC to start competing for advertising. The subscription service companies are very leery as well about the BBC suddenly getting into that market. And all those systems, people have tried it elsewhere. They've looked at it in other countries and said, shall we get rid of the licence fee in their countries? But the alternatives are all very complicated, often very costly, and don't necessarily deliver the choice that people want. At the moment, I think that the way the BBC is delivering their services is probably the most practical way. But you're quite right, that will change, I would say, perhaps in a timescale of 5 to 10 to 15 years. And on the wages front, just to address that, I mean, the BBC is a vast organisation. And the idea that it's got a couple of dozen people getting paid more than the Prime Minister, which, let's be honest, is not a lot. We underpay our Prime Minister, frankly. It is not a big deal. The health service is a massive organisation, lots of people. You need, if you pay peanuts, you will get the proverbial. And I don't think we want to cheapen the quality of the BBC that we get.
Sammy Wilson?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's not a couple of dozen. It's 91 managers are paid more than the Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister should be paid more. There's a start.
11 are paid twice the amount of money that the Prime Minister has paid. And, of course, many of these managers swan about
billion,
the world.
It's a £2 billion organisation, isn't it, Sammy? It's not going to make a lot of difference, frankly. You know that
No, but I think that the important thing, Charlie, is this, that where you do have money which comes in automatically from the licence fee, then inevitably you do get it wasted. I mean, these managers are swanning around the world, travelling first class when they fly.
I have to say, that experience is very unfamiliar to me, I would say, Sammy, to be fair.
Well, let me just give you a quote from the newspaper this week of three of the directors of BBC this year. One flew to Bangkok at a price of £4,786 when there was a fare available for £630. Another flew to Washington for £4,628 when there was a flight available for £500. And one flew to Ghana for £2,583 when there was a flight available for £400. Now, that's the kind of waste that we get when you've got an organisation which has money coming in. And I mean, Joel, I could go on.
You would expect the same from that should be right across the board. So you'd expect the same from ministers. They should fly economy if they're flying to Bangkok.
Well, I can tell you when I was finance minister, we had a decision made in the department that everybody flew economy class.
All ministers fly long haul.
There may well be occasions when ministers choose not to do that. But here's the thing: BBC criticise ministers for doing it, and yet when it comes to what happens with their own staff, freedom of information requests are almost impossible to get answers to because they say they're exempt because this money is spent for journalistic and artistic reasons. You expect transparency from politicians and don't even have the same transparency for your own organisation.
That's a fair point, Charlie.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that one. I think there's a real culture in the BBC of leave it to us. That we shouldn't worry our pretty heads with this kind of detail. I don't think it'll make the big difference, but I think you're quite right in terms of the culture, which has been that we won't give you the detail, we won't make ourselves properly accountable, and I think that that's partly about the governance structure. I would love it if there were people like Sammy Wilson on a proper BBC trust who insisted on open accountability around those kind of expenses and about the kind of charges and so on. I don't think that will solve the whole economic problem.
Would you
certainly agree with that.
Would you fancy that gig, Sammy? You get more hairy bikers, more Northwest 200. You could make all sorts of demands.
You could, yes, right. I don't think I'd be the acceptable face for the media. I think, Joel, I think that my role will be to...
Would you go as far as to lobby for this at Westminster? Not for your move under the trust, for the removal of the licence fee?
Yes, I will. And in fact, the licence fee comes up for renewal in 2016, and I, for one, will be making the case. And if I'm an MP still at that stage, I, for one, will be making the case for the licence fee to be finished.
And that would be a party position, would it, or just a personal view?
Well, that's a personal view. I don't know what the party position. The party hasn't taken a final position on that, but that would be a personal view at the moment. And I'd certainly, if I'm re-elected again in May of this year, that's one of the arguments I'll be making. By the way, I also supported the decriminalisation for those who don't pay the licence fee because I think, again, there was a bit of an anomaly there where people who didn't pay other fees, it wasn't treated as a criminal offence, but yet the licence, non-payment of the licence fee
okay.
was.
Okay, Charlie Beckett and Sammy, thank you both very much. Very quickly, Bran's been very patient. Morning, Bran.
Good morning, Joel.
Go on ahead. Sorry I didn't get to you sooner.
Not at all. Joel, the principle around choice thing, really, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, I can't go out and buy a TV, bring it home, turn it on, watch Sky, if I don't have a TV license for BBC. In fact, I think in the past, people have been brought to court and has been prosecuted because they didn't have a TV license. So for me, really, it's the principle around choice. You can't watch Sky, you can't watch Discovery, you can't watch all.
So you'd like in this day and age that with the technology you would think would be there, where if you weren't going to watch any BBC channels, or you weren't going to listen to any BBC radio stations, or you weren't going to make use of the online facilities, that you wouldn't pay a license and you would just avoid all BBC output.
Yes, I mean why can't the BBC go like the commercial stations?
Okay. Listen. We're running out of time, but sorry I didn't get to you sooner, Brian. I think that the point was covered, and the suggestion was maybe a lot of the commercial stations might not like that if everybody was in competing for the commercial market, the advertising revenue. But it's a debate I'm sure that will come up again. Brian, thanks for your call.